Elementary school students in Bentonville who chronically disrupt school environments are being assigned to two new behavior classrooms. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, alternative learning environments, including in-school behavior rooms, are commonplace. The Bentonville classrooms, however, are using state-of-the-art behavioral interventions.
R.E. Baker Elementary School children play outdoors this warm spring morning in Bentonville, running wild or gathered in tight packs, talking about things. Inside the school, lines of children change classrooms. But one room is a designated behavior classroom where chronically disruptive students from across the school district are sequestered. Behavior classroom teacher Stephanie Seetsma says this morning, no children are present to protect their identity.
Because the word behavior room can have like a stigma attached to it sometimes, we decided to call it Club Academy, which stands for cultivating learning using best practices.
Seetsma stands on a thick purple carpet beneath a whiteboard where children sit for a read-aloud time. Rows of classroom desks have been removed, replaced by half a dozen workstations. The classroom can accommodate up to six kids. Along with grade-level math, literacy, and science, each child receives positive behavior interventions.
Which works on students' mindfulness and being like flexible with their thinking. So it helps with their social skills and their ability to communicate with other people.
Entry-level children are kept apart at first, she says.
Separated out from the classroom. They're still part of the classroom, but they have to learn that they have to stay in their space and learn where their personal space is and asking permission to leave their personal space without just having free range of the room.
Classrooms are kept physically clear for a reason, says Lindsay Lovelady, Bentonville School District's behavioral specialist.
Because when students come in, we might have some difficulties that we have to work through. And that could mean that we have to clear things out of the room. So we want just what's needed.
Lovelady, who's also a certified behavior analyst, says the classroom accommodates second through fourth graders. A second classroom at Sugar Creek Elementary serves little ones, K through first grade. To be referred to the class, children first undergo rigorous functional behavior assessments, measuring just how they're acting out and how often.
If they're aggressive towards their peers or to their staff members, property destruction, elopement, sometimes we've got kids that run and they run out of their classrooms, run out of the buildings, that kind of thing. There can even be verbal aggression, which verbal threats to others. It's not a one-time doer, it is repeated over time. So it's happening a lot.
Tamara Gibson serves as executive director of elementary education. She says the district decided to install two behavior classrooms because of escalating bad conduct, especially among the youngest children at the elementary level in the district.
Behaviors that, I'm going to be honest, require us maybe to clear a room.
Lindsay Lovelady links a nationwide uptick in maladaptive behavior to screens, smartphones, iPads, digital games, cable TV, at too young an age.
So think about when you go out to dinner and you go and look around the restaurant, how many parents are on their cell phones, how many kids have a game in front of them?
According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, kids ages 8 to 18 spend on average 7.5 hours per day in front of screens. As a consequence, they play less outdoors, talk less to family, and that isolation, Tamara Gibson says, negatively impacts classroom environments.
It's very verbal and very interactive. There's a lot of sharing, and so when children come, and that's just not an environment they've been exposed to, for some children, they find it very hard to adapt.
Children act out in frustration, she says, unable to properly express their needs. Seetsma, Lovelady, and their teams of paraprofessionals, using state-of-the-art evidence-based practices, teach the children what's called emotional intelligence, how to recognize, verbalize, and regulate emotions to make positive choices and act with compassion towards classmates and teachers. Compliant children at first are rewarded with certain allowances, for example, allowed to attend lunchroom, recess, and special events. The goal is to integrate students back to their home schools. But what about stigma?
The general population doesn't necessarily understand that they're in a behavior classroom, I don't think, from my understanding. We haven't had that issue come up currently.
Tamara Gibson says students and families are made to understand the behavior classroom assignment is temporary.
It's difficult for parents to understand, to know that their child may need services where we can help with the behaviors, but also our parents, we've had so many say, we so appreciate the support.
R.E. Baker Elementary Principal Josh Draper says he first meets with parents to inform them about the intensive services their child will receive, but also asks key questions.
I first start out, tell me about your kid. Tell me about the dreams you have for your child. Now tell me what's going on. Those questions are really important because in the end, they still are an individual and they're still loved and cherished. And we have to work with that dream and that hope. And then we talk about what we're going to do to get there.
Counseling support offered to families, he says. Seedsma and Love Lady also collaborate with parents. Tamara Gibson says the district applies frameworks provided by the National Technical Assistance Center on positive behavioral interventions.
We identify what are expected behaviors in every area of school, in the classroom, in the hallway, at recess, at lunch. Those are developed on a school-wide level, and every school has their expected behaviors. But we know that children don't necessarily always come to school knowing how to make that behavior happen in the right way. So we're taking a much more concerted effort to teach children those appropriate behaviors.
Trish Wood, the district's 504 program coordinator, says the children appreciate all the extra attention.
They haven't experienced much success in the regular ed setting. So one of the biggest things that we try to do is to give them success. And when they experience the success in this environment, then they just thrive. They become different children.
Wood serves the special education population, which comprise 11% of the district's 17,000 students. Principal Josh Draper says children with disabilities may also be assigned to a behavior classroom.
It's based upon the behavior. The percent of loss of instructional time that's lost in the classroom, if that percentage is high because the behaviors are being exhibited, we could consider an alternate placement like a club academy class. It has no difference to do with the disability or whether they're gen ed kid at all.
Gen ed is jargon for general education population. Low-functioning children with disabilities, Gibson says, are excluded from the program. The cost of the two elementary-level behavior classrooms is around $225,000, including salaries, benefits, and materials. None of the 9 children currently enrolled have yet to return to their home schools. Children unable to assimilate back into their general education environment will progress to the next behavior class level. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can share this story with others through email or social media by sharing links you can find at KUAF.com or OzarksAtLarge.com. And you can always catch up with Ozarks at Large as a podcast, too. You can subscribe to us for free through services like iTunes and Stitcher.